This summer, we have been going through our series, Soul Training. So the last several Sundays, we have had guest speakers or Teen Challenge, but we're bringing our attention back to our series today. In Soul Training, we're talking about practices that are helping us grow strong in our relationship with Christ, things that we can do to enter into deeper relationship with Him and to know Him more. Last time I spoke, I talked about solitude and the importance of making space in your lives, especially in the busyness of life, making space to get away and spend time with Jesus. We can go through all the motions, we can do all the Christian things, but it's really easy to get so busy with everything that we forget the one that we are really doing it all for. The one who we're doing it all with, Jesus Christ. And so it's important to have times of solitude. But today we're going to be talking about the opposite of that, because solitude isn't the end-all be-all for a Christian faith. Today we're going to be talking about fellowship and the importance of fellowship in our lives as believers, connecting with each other as the body of Christ. When we look at our society, we see that there is a need, I think, in all of us to be connected with other people. Whether we're really extroverted or whether we're introverted, at some level, we desire to be known and to know some other people. For some of us, we want to be known and know lots of people. For some of us, we want to know and be known by a few people. But there's this desire in us to connect. And that's because God has made us for relationship. He's made us to be in relationship with Him and one another. And so when we look around at our society today, we see all these ways that people are trying to connect. There are community groups that are based around interests that have drawn people together for a long time. But today we see in a new way social media as a source of bringing people into community. How many of you are on Facebook? Most of you. There may be a few holdouts. But really, it's getting to the point where even generationally, most of us are on Facebook, and that's because we desire to know what's going on in the lives of our family and friends. We like to post things that are going on in our lives, and so that people can respond and let us know that they care and are interested in what we're doing. When we look at all these different apps and ways that we connect in Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram or all these things, they're made to try and create this community, which we're finding is harder and harder to create just in the physical world. But the problem is that what we see is while people are connected digitally, that really doesn't always translate into a true heart connection with others. We know details of people's lives, but do we really know them? Do we really know one another deeply? And I think the answer more and more is no. And so there's still this desire, this longing for community. I think that in many ways, the church is well suited to be that place, to provide that space in our world, but in our own lives for meaningful relationship, meaningful community. That's because God really made the church to be that in the lives of His followers, in the lives of those who have committed themselves to Him. When we look at the church, when we look at the Bible, we see this word come up over and over again when it describes the Christian church, and that word is fellowship. The Greek word that fellowship comes from is the word koinonia. You may have heard it before. And this word koinonia has to do with sharing things in common or being in joint participation with one another. This idea of communion, of fellowship, connecting. At the heart of the church, there's this fellowship, this connection with one another, this community that unites us. When we look at the earliest church, we see in Acts 2, 42, that it describes what is going on in this community of new believers. And they said that all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. Next, in importance to hearing the word of God, Luke in Acts highlights fellowship as central to the life of the church. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10:25, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." It says don't look other places. Don't drift apart in the church, but make sure that you continue to join together, that you continue to meet together, that you continue to depend on each other as you await Christ's coming, as you await his return. Because there were elements in the church at that point that were saying, you know, I don't need church. I don't need those people. I can do it on my own, or with the few I have that are close friends. But the author of Hebrews says, no, don't give up on meeting together. It's interesting, I think, that mentality can sometimes translate into life today. We can look at our social network and say, you know, I have these relationships built up. Some of them may be deep, some of them may be pretty superficial, but it feels like I just don't have room for more. So I can come to church, I can hear the teaching, but then that's really all I need to get out of my time here. This is what the author of Hebrews is saying: be careful that you don't fall into a trap feeling like you don't need each other, because you do. The way that they needed each other back then, and again in Hebrews it may be a little different situation, but a lot of times, especially as the gospel was going into the Roman world, to become a Christian was a significant decision. It wasn't something to be taken lightly, because it meant that potentially you lost your family connections. Potentially meant you lost your friendship connections, because all of a sudden you were chasing after another faith. You were kind of rejecting the gods of Rome and the gods of the accepted religion of the day. It even meant sometimes you were ostracized from the community, from the market, from games that the community would participate in, from all the community life. You, by becoming a Christian, were set apart. And so there was this need for each other. But that's not the case today. There isn't so much a disconnect, at least for many of us, a disconnect from life out there and life in here. So when we come to church, what does fellowship look like? I think that in many ways, even though I might be trying to say, you know, we can struggle with seeing church as this close fellowship. I think that if you ask most churches, and I think if you ask our church, you would say, you know, fellowship is one of the best things we do. It's one of the things we do most well. We enjoy connecting with each other. We enjoy things that bring us together. We are not short on potlucks. We've been having, we had a potluck last week, and we're going to have one this week. And next week, there's going to be Fireside Fellowship is having a potluck. There's potlucks. It seems like August is potluck month. But each one of those things we can call fellowship. We can look at the church after the service is over and people are drinking coffee, people are standing in the halls. Sometimes it can go on for for an hour or more of people just talking, which is great. So do we have a problem with fellowship? And on one hand, maybe not, but on the other hand, I think that there's something that we have to be very careful about when we think about fellowship in our church and in the Christian community as a whole. Because we can look at all these things, potlucks, coffee times, talking with each other, and we can say, you know, we do all this really well. We don't have a fellowship problem. But the thing is that what we can look at as fellowship oftentimes can end up being something that doesn't quite meet the biblical standard of what Christian fellowship is all about. Instead of true fellowship, we can settle for more socializing, for kind of small talk, talking at the surface level in many ways in the same way that we might talk to anyone out in the community or anyone, whether Christian or not. We can talk about the weather, we can talk about work, we can talk about what's going on in sports, we can talk about whatever our interests may be. And never really dig down deeper to the heart of what holds us together as a body. And while socializing in terms of just getting to know each other in our interests and in our daily habits and the things that are going on in our lives is good and necessary and it's part of fellowship, it's actually not the most important part of biblical fellowship. If the socializing is the only thing that is part of your relationships with people in the church, then you're missing something. So we have to examine our hearts, examine our relationships, and see whether or not true fellowship exists. And in order to understand whether or not true fellowship exists, we need to understand what it's for, and also understand where it comes from, what the source of that fellowship is. The first, what it comes from. What is the source of fellowship? What is the source of what binds us together in this room? Well, Christian fellowship is ultimately through Christ. That's what unites us. That's what holds us together. When we talk about work, when we talk about things that we enjoy, maybe you like to go talk to people about fishing or hunting or maybe it's you enjoy talking about what's going on with the Vikings or, heaven forbid, the Packers for some of you. Those things are fine and good, but they're things that relate to some of us, not all of us. If you talk with people related to your age group, if you talk to people related to your gender, again, it includes some but not all. What happens when we focus on all these things that are common to our conversations outside of the church is that it starts to separate us. We have this age or that age. We have this gender or that gender. We have the people who are interested in these things or those things. But slowly that draws us apart, and we have no reason to actually go talk to anyone else, to enter into fellowship with others. The thing is, though, that these things aren't central to what holds us together as a church. What's central is Christ. He is the one that unites us. He is the one that is our common bond. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't meet together. We wouldn't have any reason to be here. And for many of you, you would have no reason to ever run into each other or ever talk to each other. But because we are here, we're bound together in Him. And this is based not only just on our on the fact that we're saved, but it's interesting how in John, 1 John 1, 2 through 3, which we just heard, we hear both this idea that we are connected to Christ. So we have fellowship, a deep bond with Christ. And it's out of that deep bond with Him that we're bonded to one another. So in 1 John 1, 2 through 3, it says, "This one who is life itself has revealed to us or was revealed to us, and we've seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. And it goes on to say, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, or what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a sense of an understanding of finding ourselves in Christ, identifying ourselves with him first and foremost, that then helps us to identify with one another in the same way. And so when we look at fellowship, we can ask ourselves, is this how we identify ourselves? Do we find our identity in Christ and Christ first and foremost, or is it other things? Is it our interests? Is it our work? Is it our families or other concerns? When we identify ourselves with Christ, when we see him as the source, all of a sudden this bond starts to take place. It's interesting, and I will use him as an example because he just mentioned it, but it's interesting how Andrew stood up here and said that his experience at Chick with other Christians who were there focused on their relationship with Christ together was the situation that made him feel the closest that he'd ever felt with a group of people. Andrew is very involved in sports, very involved in teams that are good and work well together, that have a lot in common. And if he's still in the room, sorry, Andrew, if I put you on the spot, but to have him say that is huge. Say the thing that mattered more, that united him more with others, wasn't the sports, it wasn't the other common things, but it was Christ. And what Christ was doing in his life and in the lives of those around him. Powerful. Is that true for us? Do we feel more close to the people in this room because of what Christ is doing in us and through us than we do with anyone else? That's what Christian fellowship is all about. So the source is Christ. It's for the purpose, though, of building up one another. Christian fellowship is for building one another up in Christ. When we come together, there's this thing that should be on our minds, and that thing is that we're coming together to help one another grow in Christ. That it's not something that we come to church simply to grow ourselves, but to help each other in our journey of faith. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." Encourage each other, build each other up. In Hebrews it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good deeds. Let us, in the way that we speak to one another, in the way that we talk, in the ways that we act with one another, help us to live this Christian life better. How many conversations have you had at church where you would say that your life as a follower of Christ was impacted greatly by that conversation? Most of us, hopefully, would be able to say there's been several. But I wonder if we could say that on a regular basis our lives are being impacted by the conversations and actions of one another at church. That we're being spurred on, that we're being built up, that we're being encouraged, that we're growing because of one another and our interactions. This shouldn't be something that is just from time to time. This should characterize who we are as a fellowship of believers. Church is an interesting thing. Because really, the whole act that God has has done this act of bringing people together, uniting us in Christ despite all our differences, creates an environment that is incredibly well-suited, sometimes uncomfortably so, but well-suited for helping us grow in the gifts of the Spirit, in being patient with each other, being kind with each other, showing love to each other. Because we don't always get along. We don't always feel like we're good friends. We don't always feel like we're on the same side. But it's in those moments where, when our lives are focused on Christ, when our lives are focused on building one another up, that instead of just separating from each other, instead of moving away from each other, there's this drive or call, at least, to try to move towards each other. Try to grow together. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but there's this desire within Christ that we grow in Him, being strengthened, rather than simply running when things get hard. And so ultimately, because of communion, and we're already tight for time, but just I want to encourage you to think about the ways that you are interacting here at church. I want to give you three quick ways that you can practice fellowship when you're here, when you're at home, when you are at work with other believers. In these ways, I think that you'll find that something deeper will be produced than mere socializing. The first thing is to talk about God and God's Word with one another. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you walk up to someone at church, when you enter into conversation with them? Might be, how's your week? What do you think about the game last night? What's going on at school? Again, not downplaying any of those things. Those are all good conversations. But things like, hey, can I tell you about what I'm learning from my time in the Bible? What did you think about what Pastor said in the sermon today about this? You know, I've been really challenged in my faith lately. Can I tell you a little bit about the ways that God is working on me as I go through these things in my life? I'm starting to talk about God and what you're learning in His Word starts to unite us in a way that's unlike any way that can unite us outside these walls with non-Christians. It begins to emphasize what's at the center of our life, God. What He's doing and what He's saying. And make that central so that when we come together, we are able to be thinking and processing God's work in our lives. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs of God with thankful hearts. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives, and teach and counsel each other with that message. When we look at Deuteronomy 6, looking back at the law, Moses talks to the people of Israel. He says, you know, this law, this message of God needs to be part of everything you do. He says, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up. Make this a part of your normal conversation. Hey, you never believe what God did in my life this week. You never believe what I'm learning as I read Scripture. You know, what do you think about this interpretation or that interpretation of God's Word? When we do these things, it builds us up. Second thing we can do to practice fellowship with one another is pray for each other. And this is getting more into what's going on in our lives. As we hear what God is doing in our lives, as we hear about the struggles in life, just asking one another, how can I pray for you? becomes a powerful way to experience fellowship and care and concern. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Sometimes it happens here at church, but wouldn't it be great to see more and more in the halls, at the tables, wherever we are, that there are people praying over one another as their conversations end, saying, how can I pray for you, and can I pray for you now? Can we pray together to end our time? So that God would bless us, so that God would be glorified in this conversation, and so that we would support each other in the things that are going on in our lives. To show this kind of relationship, it takes vulnerability. And that in and of itself can be a big barrier to good fellowship. But to be able to be vulnerable enough to say, you know, I do need prayer. I do need your support in my life. And then to not only pray there, but then to continue to pray, to be able to check in and say, so how are you doing? Have things changed? Are things going okay? Can be a powerful witness to one another. Finally, the last way to practice fellowship with other Christians, at least the last way that I'm going to encourage you to think about this morning, is to just serve one another. To serve one another. Come to church thinking about how you can serve, not just serving in formal ways like in the nursery or serving communion or serving in the sound booth, but how can you actually come looking for the needs of others, looking at what's going on with other people. When you notice someone needs a refill on their coffee, something as simple as that, hey, can I get you a refill? When you see someone who seems to be excluded from a conversation and just doesn't seem like they're connecting with anyone, to invite them in and to say, hey, come sit with us and join us. And engage them and bring them into the conversation that's going on. To just show care in whatever ways it might be, but to have that eye for others rather than simply on ourselves. In Galatians 5:13, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. When we're talking about God and God's Word together, when we're praying for each other, when we're serving one another and concerned about how we're building one another up, this church, this body becomes something completely different than any other social club. It becomes different than anything you can get anywhere else. It becomes something that is tight-knit. It's strong. It becomes a place where you desire to be, desire to go, because you know that you will be strengthened by one another. This is what God's hope is for this community, and it's in the practice of fellowship that we're built up in godliness, that we become godly ourselves and are drawn closer not only to one another, but again to Christ. When you look at the church body as a whole, and these three things, we can also look at them in our small groups. If we're in a small group, we can look at them in our families. If you want to think about how to build your family up in Christ, think about talking about God's Word more. Talking about actively praying for each other more regularly and just in the moment. Think about having an eye for serving one another more regularly in little ways. And there, fellowship in Christ will start to develop and grow. And so it's my hope, and I know that it is already happening in many ways, but my hope that we would continue to grow as a fellowship, experiencing true koinonia, true partnership and participation together as we grow in faith and grow in Christ. And so Would you join me in a word of prayer as we think about what God has called us to do this morning? Lord, we thank you that you've called us together to be yours. And Lord, we know that we don't always get it right, and sometimes we do get it right. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to emphasize or to see the value in those times that we engage in spiritual conversations, spiritual actions together. Highlight those things for us so that we see how beneficial they are when we do them. So that more and more our lives will be characterized by those kind of relationships with other Christians, rather than simply being satisfied with only a surface relationship based on some interests or casual conversation. Oh, Lord, we desire to be built up in you, and there's no better place than the church to do that. That's why you've given us to one another. And so, Lord, give us hearts to see this community through your eyes. Help us to see each other as in it together, so that we may be built up in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.